The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Hush. Thank you. Well, that was a great message. God bless you. Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. What a privilege it is to be a part of a commencement service. This is our third commencement since Friday night. I'm going fishing tomorrow. But we're excited about the Lord using young men and young ladies. And in these days of apostasy in our land, when those who want to be religious without God or the Bible, I'm grateful that there are some young men and young ladies yielding their life to the God of the book and the book of God. What a future we have. Never before in the history of our country have Christians been as important as they are today. All the darkness covers our land. And the need of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine is greater than ever before. You say, but everything's already been done. No. There's more souls to be won. There's more preachers to be called and trained. There's more bus routes to be started. Sunday school classes to be taught. There's sermons to be written and preached. Songs to be written and sung. We're in business till Jesus comes. Amen. And the more cold and black our world becomes, the more important you are in our day. What a privilege to stand here and challenge these young people that have finished their course of studies in Bible college, now are about to start out on a new journey. An unending journey. You know, when you started the Bible college, you could look forward to a day when it's over. But in the Lord's work, there's not a day when it's over until the trumpet sounds or they call the undertaker. And if we've done what we ought to have done, if we've been what we ought to have been, if our witness is what it ought to be, even after we're dead and gone, our witness will carry on. You do understand that the effect of your life and ministry does not end when you die. God does not push the total button to calculate your rewards until the judgment seat of Christ. Because thank God, those we win others, and they win others, and they win others, and they win others, and we may be long gone, but still the influence of lives can be felt on the earth. Can you imagine what it would be like to be Simon Peter on that day at the judgment seat of Christ, when the total button is pushed and God calculates his rewards? But I'd rather be Andrew. Andrew's one up on Simon Peter. He won Simon Peter. And everything God used Peter to do, Andrew got a part of it. And oh, what a privilege to serve the Lord. And I challenge you, give God your best. You don't have to be the best. God never asked you to be the best. He just asked us to do our best. And our best is always good enough for God, no matter how poor it might be. Less than our best is never good enough for God, no matter how good it might be. May God help us to give Him our best. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we shall begin to read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Mrs. Smith and I are honored to be here tonight. We thank you, preacher, for inviting us and giving us this opportunity to stand behind your pulpit. We do not take it lightly, and we're honored to be here. We're honored to be a part of this commencement service and be a part of this special time in the lives of these students. And may I address not only them tonight, but every young man and young lady who has surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I go a step further and say to every bus worker and every Sunday school teacher and every staff member, listen to what we're going to say tonight. It's from the Bible. It will help you if you'll take it and put it into practice. You do want to be your best for the Master, don't you? Father, help me tonight as I read this passage and preach this message, how I need Thee. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these young people, to this dear church, to this pastor. And most of all, may You get glory and honor from it all. Now, Lord, thank You for saving our soul and allowing us to serve You. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that which despitefully use you, and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. Father, bless the reading of this scripture to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking this afternoon, I wonder what God is going to do with these graduates. I wonder what God has planned for your life. May I say to you, His plans for you are greater than anything you've ever thought or dreamed or imagined. My, it would scare you to death if you knew what God wanted to do with you. God has chosen to need us. Now the truth is, God is sovereign. He created the world by Himself. He sustains the world by Himself. He does not need us, but He has chosen to put together a plan where He could need us and we could share in the joy and the blessings of His wonderful work and His ministry. What a God that would extend such a hand of love and an opportunity to me and you. We who deserve nothing better than hell itself, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, forgiven, saved, made heirs to God, and joined heirs with Jesus. He's not only saved us from hell, He's given us an opportunity to serve Him and to represent Him in this old wicked world. Do you ever look at people and wonder, what's God going to do with them? I wonder what God will do with these graduates. We never really know who it is that God will use greatly. Many times those we think that are going to be used the great in the greatest ways usually don't make it, or many times don't make it. When a person says he has great potential, that means he's a person that's never really lived up to his expectations. And then there are some that you think, there's no way in the world God's ever going to use them. But He does, in an unbelievable way. When you stand in your Sunday school class and look at those boys and girls, you be careful what you think and what you say about them. Let me remind you, when Moses came back from the Midian desert, and he said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." There was a teenage boy running around there named Joshua. Nobody ever thought for a moment at that time God would choose him to be the next leader of Israel. Oh my. Even his brothers were sure their younger brother David would not amount to anything. No one but God knew what He was going to do with Joseph. Oh, listen, my dear friends. How could God ever use the quitter, John Mark? He fell back, but thank God he made a comeback. God used him to write the Gospel of Mark. I wonder if the people letting down Saul of Tarsus over that wall in the basket really knew who they had in their basket. You and I can't imagine what God wants to do with the lives of young men and young ladies here tonight. Now, I've witnessed many changes in the Lord's work in my lifetime. However, the God we serve, the Bible we believe, and the Bible principles God would have us live by and serve by will not change and have not changed. God would not have us to set out to be the greatest. I walked by a classroom one day after school, and a young man was in that classroom praying. That's commendable. He was praying. And I stopped and listened. And he was praying, "Oh God, make me a great preacher. God, help me to do great things. Help me to have a great name." That's the wrong prayer. He's not in the ministry today. God wants us to make His name great. God wants us to exalt Him. God wants His name to be lifted up. We're but a voice. We're but a tool. We're but a servant. And may God help us never to get to the place where we don't realize that. And I want to talk to you about being servants for God today. Well, I want to be a champion. I only read about one champion in the Bible, and his name was Goliath. He wasn't even on God's side. God's not looking for champions. He's looking for servants. People who are willing to dedicate their life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve others. Jesus humbled himself, became a servant. You're not better than your master, are you? He wants us to be servants. Our nation and especially our churches suffer today because too many of God's servants want to be great instead of becoming a submissive servant for our Savior and serving Him for the rest of their lives because we love Him preeminently. Have you checked up on your love relationship to Christ lately? Is He first? Do you love Him most? Is your love preeminent love, supreme love? The Bible says in all things He's to have the preeminence. I want to give to you what I believe is four principles that will help you to become the servant God wants you to be. God gave these to me one night about 44 years ago. I couldn't sleep. I got up, got my Bible, and I started reading the Sermon on the Mount, a paragraph at a time, backwards. I started the last paragraph of chapter 7 and read it. Went to the next paragraph, read it, and read through the Sermon on the Mount backwards, a paragraph at a time. That night, God gave me 29 messages, outlines. And this is one of the outlines He gave me. And I've tried to make this a principle used for my life. I've tried to use it to guide my ministry. I want God's blessings. I'll be 74 years old in a couple of months, and I still want God's blessings. I want His favor on my life. I want to please Him. I want to be used to bring Him glory. And I believe if we're going to be used to bring Him glory, we'd better learn to use His principles set down in His Word. He honors His Word as holy and precious as His name is. He's exalted His Word above His name. You live by His Word. You preach His Word. You practice the principles taught in the Scripture. God will bless you. You'll know the favor of God. Joseph down in Egypt had the favor of God. Everything he did, God blessed, because he honored God with his life. Now, the Lord showed me these four principles. The truth is that none of our works will be determined a success or a failure until we stand before Him at the judgment seat. And I believe one of the ways He'll judge us is by this book. The Bible says the books shall be open, more than one book. I believe one of those books is this book, the Word of God. I believe the Word we have here is the Word that God has in heaven. Sure would be good to have the same Bible he has in heaven, wouldn't it? And I want to give you four principles from these verses that I've read tonight that will help you to be a successful servant. Now, it makes no difference whether you're a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a preacher, a school teacher, or you're working on a secular job. God's principles work anywhere. Because it's God who blesses those that live by His book, not man. Principle number one. It's found in verse 38 and 39. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. The principle I see here is this principle. The successful Christian servant must be willing to endure a little extra. Humanly speaking, our success or our failure will not be determined by how brilliant we are, how intellectual we are, how talented we are, or what a wonderful personality we have. Our success or failure will be determined, humanly speaking, by what it takes to cause you to quit. Jesus said, in the Old Testament, they said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You kick me, I'll kick you. Jesus said, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Oh my. That goes against fundamentalism, doesn't it? I've seen times when I'd help God if he'd let me. I've seen some situations that needed to be dealt with, and if God let me, I'd help him. But that's God's business, not ours. The successful Christian servant is not going to be successful in the Lord's work because of how talented he is or brilliant he is. What a great personality you have. How many degrees you have on the wall. That's not going to make the difference. It's what you're willing to endure for the cause of Christ that will determine whether you make it or not. What will it take to cause us to quit? The measure of success for God is determined to a great extent by what you're willing to endure for Christ's sake. I've seen preachers get fed up, throw up their hands and quit, saying, you can't build a work here. And someone come in and 3 months later they're enjoying the success God would have given this man if he had just stuck with it. In the Lord's work, it's not necessary that we fight every battle. We're going to have some battles. We're going to have some people that don't understand us and don't approve of us, don't like us. It's not up to us to fight every battle. We're going to have people that'll talk against us, speak ugly things against us. Hey, we're God's servants. God's got our back. He'll fight battles for us that we don't have to fight if we'll just be faithful and keep on. Well, bless God, I'll just quit. I don't have to put up with that. Well, you're going to be a failure. Any man worth his salt that God uses in a great way goes through some valleys and heartaches. They're mistreated in areas, but they just keep on going. Look at Joseph. Joseph never tried to fight his battles. He didn't try to get even. God took care of the circumstances. Many times we are personally mistreated by someone, and Bible truth or principles not at stake, it's far better to allow God to fight that battle for you. Right. And be willing to accept being defrauded so that a weaker brother will not be hurt. Just go on for God. Beware of allowing anger and bitterness to build up in your heart and mind because of God working in us and on us. Now, young people, as you go out to begin to do a work for God, at the early part of our life and ministry, God's more interested in building you than he is a church or a class or a ministry. Let God do his work in your heart. The successful servant must be willing to endure a little extra. People will say ugly things about you. They did to Jesus. You're not better than Jesus, are you? You don't have to get in their face. We've got someone on our side that fights those battles for us. Just keep on going. The devil would like to get you distracted. He'd like for you to get in the flesh and get even. Then the devil wins the battle. He wins the victory, not God, not you. When problems come, fleshly and carnal Christians get hurt and get bitter. The spiritual quilling Christians willing to endure a little extra and just go on for God. Just keep going. Keep going. You're going to be tested in this area early in your ministry. I was. My very first place of service, I had a man come to me and he wanted me to compromise a biblical truth, a doctrine for he and his family. I wouldn't do it. He cussed me. I didn't say cursed. It was a step beyond cursing, is cussing. He is ugly to me. He said, "Preacher, what do you want to do?" I wanted to bury this fist in his belly button. Pow! I wanted to bend him over and then give him an uppercut. But if I had, the devil would have been victorious, not God. He cursed me. And I started praying for him while he was cursing me. He got in his Cadillac and burnt off, threw gravel all over me. I went on back in my office, prayed for him. You say, "Were you upset?" You bet your dollar I was upset. But I wasn't going to let the flesh rule over me. About 2 hours, my phone rang. This man called me weeping. He said, "Brother Smith, I'm so sorry. I'm ashamed. I'm a fool. I was wrong. I had no business asking you to compromise the Word of God. Please, please forgive me. I've already been on my knees asking God to forgive me." That man was my friend for many, many years until he died. What would have happened if I'd have slugged him? No, he would not have been a friend to me or a friend to God. You see, your success or failure, humanly speaking, is not going to be determined by how sharp you are and smart you are and quick-witted you are, but what you're willing to endure for the cause of Christ. Look at the apostles, what they went through. Look at the apostle Paul, what he went through. Look at Jesus, what he went through for us. No, it's not an eye for an eye. And if they smite you on your right cheek, turn the left also. The Christian servant must be willing to endure a little extra. Second principle is found in verse number 40. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Here's the principle. The successful Christian servant must be willing to endure a little extra and give a little more. Jesus said, if you're sued at law and they take away thy coat, give him your overcoat also. The successful Christian servant must be willing to give a little more. Being a Christian servant is also being a Christian leader. Bible leadership and a servant's influence is described by the words of Paul when he said to the Corinthians, "Follow me as I follow Christ." I've discovered in ministry, if I want my people to jump 3 feet, I've got to be willing to jump 6 feet. They'll do what I do, only less. I've got to be willing to give a little more. Dr. Louis Ensminger said years ago, we teach a little by what we say. We teach more by what we do. We teach most by what we are. If we're going to have the impact on others for Christ that He'd have us to have, then we must be willing to endure a little extra and give a little more than the ordinary servant. Too often, we do only what's enough to get by. Staff members are this way. They'll find out what they're supposed to do and then walk as close to that line as possible. Don't want to do a little extra. Don't want to give a little more time. The successful Christian servant must be willing to endure a little extra and give a little more. God's keeping record on our stewardship. We must stand before Him and give an account. And there I want my record to say that I endured a little extra. And I gave a little more than was required of me. When I was 18 years old, getting ready to leave home, I graduated from high school in May. I was 17. In July, I turned 18, and I was getting ready to leave home. My daddy pulled me aside. My daddy is from East Texas. I grew up in Myrtle Springs, Texas. Little old country town down in East Texas between Canton and Wills Point. I was raised on a little farm. My dad didn't finish the first grade. He couldn't read or write except to write his name. But he had a lot of wisdom. I called it East Texas possumology. When I got ready to leave home, he said, "Son, I want you to remember 3 things. He said, number one, always do more than you're paid for, and you'll always have somebody wanting you to work for you, wanting you to work for them. He said, number two, always respect authority. Because no matter what you do in life or what you, how high you go up the ladder, someone's going to be over you. So always respect authority." And then he said, "Son, here's the possumology. Remember, if you play with a skunk, he's going to get skunk on you." And I knew what he meant. He said, "You play with sin, it's going to mess you up. It's going to cause you to stink like playing with a skunk. God's children can't sin and get by with it. God in heaven will see to it." If you can live in sin and not get caught and get chastened by God, you better check up on what you're calling your salvation. Ah, oh, the successful Christian servant must be willing to endure a little more or a little extra and go a little further or give a little more. I'll get it in a minute. I retired from Trinity in my 25th year. Had a young man that served with me for 23 and a half years. He practiced these principles. When the church asked me to recommend someone to follow me, I recommended him. He's the pastor of the church today. He lived by these 4 principles. He practiced them. So principle number one is the successful Christian servant must be willing to endure a little extra. Secondly, the successful Christian servant must be willing to give a little more. Third principle. The successful Christian servant must be willing to go a little further. Look in verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So what's the basis of this? Jesus was using a law. When Rome occupied a country, the occupied citizens of that country could be compelled by Roman soldiers to carry their pack for a mile, no matter what they were doing. The Roman soldiers could say, "Hey, bud, carry my pack for a mile." Jesus said, "Don't carry it a mile, carry it 2 miles. Go a little further." And why? Why would Jesus require his servants to be 2 milers, not a 1 miler? What's the significance of this? Well, I want you to think about a young Jewish man coming home in the evening. His wife said, "Honey, we need some milk and eggs." So he goes down to the local 7-Eleven store and gets a gallon of milk and a dozen eggs. Walks out, pays the bill, walks out, and a Roman soldier comes by and says, "Carry my pack for a mile." He can't carry the eggs and the milk in the pack. So he has to lay the milk and the eggs down, pick up the soldier's pack, and begin to carry it for 1 mile. I can see him as he walks off and he looks back over his shoulder. And an old dog runs out from behind the store and starts eating the eggs and drinking the milk. Now this guy is upset. He is angry. But Jesus said, not 1 mile, 2 miles. What's the significance of this? You see, the first mile was law, but the second mile was grace. The first mile he was obligated to the soldier, but the second mile the soldier was obligated to him. In the first mile he was hurt, the second mile he was healed. In the first mile he was conquered, the second mile he was more than conquerors. First mile was required, second mile was volunteered. The first mile said, "You're a slave." The second mile said, "I'm a free man." The first mile he was cursed. The second mile he was blessed. The first mile was for man's sake. But the second mile was for Christ's sake. The first mile just made him ordinary. But the second mile made him extraordinary. Jesus said, "I want my servants to be 2 milers." The Christian servant that succeeds in the Lord's work must be willing to endure a little extra. They must be willing to give a little more. They must be willing to go a little further. Dr. Russell Anderson once said, "We make a living from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and we become a success by what we do from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. Many of you will not know Raymond Berry. Raymond Berry was a wide receiver for the Baltimore Colts when Johnny Unitas was the quarterback. Now I realize to some of you that's just history, but some of us got to live through that and got to see them play and so forth. Raymond Berry was a graduate of SMU. He was not the fastest man on the football field. He was the first wide receiver, I think, that ever wore glasses in the NFL. He broke all kinds of receiving records. And someone said, "Mr. Berry, how were you able to break all those records?" He said, "Well, I wouldn't just work through the practice, but after practice, Johnny Unitas would throw passes to me, and I'd run routes, and I'd practice breaking free and catching the ball. And he said, anyone can be a hero if they're willing to go a little further. You say, where'd you get that? Off the box of a Wheaties, off the back of a Wheaties box. Eat breakfast, preachers. No telling what you can get when you're reading the box your cereal comes in. I bet you guys don't even eat breakfast, do you? Let me take a poll. How many of you eat breakfast? How many of your wives get up and cook you breakfast? God bless both of you. My wife cooks breakfast 5 or 6 mornings out of the week. I wouldn't marry a woman who wouldn't cook breakfast for you. You may not amount to much if you don't eat breakfast. Break the fast. My daddy said if you want to eat healthy, eat like a king for breakfast, a prince for dinner, and a pauper for supper. He didn't live but to be 90. Mama only made it to 96. Principles, Bible principles. A successful servant must be willing to endure a little extra. He must be willing to give a little more. Hey, by the way, check your giving out. Look at your tithe. Do you tithe? If you do, is it to the penny? $34.23. You know, one of the ways we worship God is singing. Congregational singing. We worship together as a church. Another way we worship God is by giving. I promised God if He'd help me, I'd give something in every offering. Because I wanted Him to know whose side I'm on. I want to worship Him. He is our source of supply. We need to know that. And the Christian servant that's successful must be willing to endure a little extra. He must be willing to give a little more. He must be willing to go a little further. And fourthly, the successful Christian servant must be willing to love a little deeper. Look at verse 43. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? The Christian servant has got to step up beyond and above what this world is doing. It means we're going to have to be willing to endure a little extra. We're going to have to be willing to go a little further. We're going to have to be willing to give a little more. And we've got to learn how to love a little deeper. And Jesus Himself is our example. Spat upon, beaten, cursed, reviled, nailed to a no rugged cross. He could have thought it and wiped the whole world off into hell. But he opened not his mouth. When he did speak, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And may I say to you, the successful missionary, the successful pastor, the successful evangelist, the successful staff member, the successful Christian worker in the Sunday school, on the buses, makes no difference what your title is. If you're going to have God's blessings and favor on your life, you need to learn to and be willing to endure a little extra. You've got to learn to give a little more. You've got to learn to go a little further. And oh my, you're just not going to make it if you don't learn how to love a little deeper. Love like Christ loves. We make the old buddy system popular in this world. Well, you know, you did me this favor, I'll do this for you. Hey, buddy! But Jesus didn't send us here just to reach our buddies. He sent us here to reach a world that don't know Him, that don't know you, may hate you. And you're not going to reach them by cursing them as they curse you. You're not going to win them by treating them like they treat you. You're going to reach them by loving like Christ loved. And that's loving a little deeper. In the pastorate, these four principles are invaluable. Over and over again, you're going to be put to the test. If you don't learn to practice them, you won't last long. And you certainly won't have God's blessings on your life. For 44 years, I've tried to practice these principles. And God has blessed our life and blessed our ministry and blessed our church over and over and over again. Don't you want His blessings? Don't you want His favor? Then we need to learn to practice His principles. You see, many of the things that we live by as Christians are not just "thus saith the Lord." They're principles set down in Scripture that we must glean and make application to our own life. And when we do, we have His favor. And I challenge you graduates, as you go out to begin a life of service and ministry for the Lord, put them into practice. Put it into practice in your own family, in your own relationships and friendships. Put them into practice in your Sunday school classes, on your bus routes. Put these principles into practice on your secular job. You'll be amazed what God will do for you and through you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.